An ordained Episcopal priest, former Senator John Danforth has written extensively on the negative use of religion as a schismatic force in American politics. In his new book, The Relevance of Religion, he determines that religion has been used as ammunition by politicians across the spectrum to energize supporters, and he says at the costly expense of compromise and clear-sightedness rooted in faith values. John Danforth graduated from Princeton University, Yale Divinity School, and Yale Law School. He practiced law in New York City and St. Louis before serving as Attorney General of Missouri and as a United States Senator from Missouri and United States Representative to the United Nations. He is an ordained Episcopal priest and the author of the book Faith in Politics and Resurrection. The new book is The Relevance of Religion, and we welcome former Senator John Danforth back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
What brought you to this particular subject? As I mentioned in the introduction, you have written about faith and politics before. Why did you want to look at the relevance of religion?
The last book that I wrote, which was about 9 or 10 years ago, was on how religion can be misused in politics and how it can be divisive. This book is different in that it asks the question, how can we fix broken politics? Everybody knows that politics is broken now. It's when the House of Representatives can't even elect a speaker, clearly something has gone terribly wrong in American politics. Are there ways in which faithful people can be constructive, try to bring America back together again, try to heal broken politics? And I think that there are ways we can do that.
Before we talk about the relevance, how did we become so fractured, especially when dealing with this particular subject?
A message has gone out from the American people that I don't think represents where we as Americans really are, but it's become a common perception. And one perception is that we're only interested in ourselves. We're only interested in our own economic well-being. So how much can we get from government? How little can we give to government? That's created a national debt that's now knocking on the door of $20 trillion. And I think that another false perception is that politics is the business of being absolute, and there's no room for compromise in it. And I think in those two regards, we've created a belief, anyhow, that we just can't put up with politics that's really workable. I don't think that's where the American people are right now, but I think that that's the popular understanding.
You do point out in the book, I mean, obviously you're a lifelong Republican, but you do take your own party to task for their part in creating this system, which you say the loudest opinions and the most polarizing personalities hold sway.
Yes, politics is polarized now, and it takes two poles to be polarized. So I'm an equal opportunity blamer for the political problem that we're in. But I am a Republican, so I focus a lot on my own party, but there's a lot of blame to go around.
What do you think, because obviously when this is brought up, and even what we're seeing, as you indicated a moment ago, in the race to find a new House Speaker, that the divisions we see between Republicans and the Tea Party, and obviously a lot of this comes down to faith and religion. So how did we get to that point?
There are people in politics who take the position of rule or ruin. It's my way or the highway. And I'm not going to put up with anybody who takes the opposite point of view. I'm not going to try to reach compromise. I'm not going to try to reach agreement. Here is my ultimatum as to what should happen. We're seeing that now, as I understand it, in the whole question of who the speaker should be, where Republicans in the House of Representatives are told, if you vote for, let's say, Paul Ryan as speaker, we're going to run a primary opponent against you. So that's where we are now. It's an absolute view of politics, but politics can't function that way. The way in which the framers of the Constitution created Congress was to develop a place where differences could be addressed and hopefully resolved in one way or another. So Congress right now is not working.
When you were serving, how much did you see of this? Did you see this religion used more for self-interest than for the purpose of true faith and religion?
I really didn't see it when I was there. I think there's been a big change. There have been a couple of big changes since I left, and I left, you know, going on 21 years ago, so I'm sort of really ancient history. But what happened and what I commented on in the book that I wrote 10 years ago was the use of religion to energize the political base by developing religiously fraught wedge issues. And I thought that that was not serving the country well, and I commented on it at that time. I think what's happened now, the change that's happened now, is that Congress is no longer seen as a place to work out problems. It's seen as a place to state positions that were from which people won't budge.
You, toward the end of the book, you talk about compromise and principle, and compromise seems to be rather lost now. And I'm curious as to how you feel that it can return, and it can return in a way that, as your title suggests, that faithful people can change that.
Right. What members of Congress are hearing now is don't compromise, and that's the voice that's coming from people who show up at town hall meetings, or people who vote in primaries, the most active people in politics, are giving them that message, don't give an inch. I think that what we need is an alternative message. I think what we need is a message that what the American people expect from their government, first and foremost, is simply something that functions. Whether they agree with it or not, at least it's something that functions. It's not just a total stall. It's not just a broken system that we have now. That, to me, is a message that can and should come from faithful people right across the spectrum, whether they're Democrats, Republicans, liberals, or conservatives. The view that compromise is the way the system works, and it's consistent with religion, because in religion, there's only one absolute. It's certainly not politics, and it's not some political position. And to make a political position into an absolute in religious terms is idolatry. So I think that a message, it's important for the rest of us to be more outspoken. People say, well, there's a silent majority. Well, the silent majority is people who are silent. And the people who are the most outspoken are the most insistent that they absolutely get their way and there's no give at all, and they're going to punish people who try to work things out. So my plea in this book is for faithful people to be more outspoken and to do a better job of expressing their view that idolatry does not belong in politics.
Your hope, as you just mentioned, is for faithful people to realize that they have much to offer American politics. I'm curious as to your thought on people who do not believe and people who are not faithful, but certainly have a great interest in what happens in this country and a great interest in what happens with our politics, and ultimately the common ground that they share and how I would think those voices could also help and work together.
Yeah, absolutely. They certainly can. And the book is really written for primarily for people who are religious people, and it's urging them to, you could say, get the ball rolling or start the conversation about a more realistic and more workable politics. But there are just an awful lot of people who are not especially religious who share a common concern that politics is not functioning now. It just isn't. I mean, it's absolute stalemate. It's amazing. People run for office now, and then immediately after the election, they start running for office again, but there's nothing that happens in between. And I think a lot of people know this. They don't have to be religious people to know that. A lot of people are really concerned about the stalemate in our country, and there's a lot of room for people of all kinds to come together on this. But my point is that from a religious standpoint, the concepts of compromise, the idea that politics is just politics, it's not religion, the notion that there are interests beyond just self-interest that have to be part of the whole process in America, I think those are particular gifts that religious people can bring to politics, but it's going to require a lot of people with a lot of different beliefs or non-beliefs to be much more outspoken about trying to make things work.
In watching, in your watching, as a person who has certainly served in the U.S. Senate, but also is an ordained Episcopal priest, when you watch the Republican debates, do you think that is a fair representation of how many people believe, and also what ultimately the Republican Party believes?
I haven't watched all of the debates. I've watched pieces of the two Republican debates and the Democratic debate, and I think what's interesting is what's left out. I mean, what's left out is, what are we going to do about the budget and the national debt? And what are we going to do about, you know, the future of Medicare and Social Security? These are really hard issues, and they're issues that are not going to, the solutions aren't going to be make anybody happy. But we've stalled out. We're not addressing the issues. It's now been 5 years since Simpson-Bowles, and nothing happens. And it seems to me that the question that should be the first question, or at least one of the first questions that should be asked of all of the candidates, is what do you propose to do about the debt? So it's as though, you know, please answer in 2 minutes whatever the question is, but the questions seem to be something less than central.
It seems that the elephant in the room question, when we have such a conversation about the relevance of religion and politics, is the separation of church and state. And I can feel people yelling at the radio as we're talking right now. How do you, and you certainly have done this your entire life and your entire career, but how do you address that and talk about it in terms of being a faithful man as you are, and also getting things done as a political representative for the people you serve?
The separation of church and state is a very important principle. And breaking down that separation, which is what I criticized in my book 10 years ago, is really a disservice to the country religion should not be used politically in a divisive way. And I don't think, and I never found it possible in my own time when I was in public life, to draw a direct relationship between religious belief on one hand and policy positions on the other. I think it's wrong to do that. And I think that what religion offers politics is not that you have to support one candidate or another, or you have to take this or that position on tax issues or spending issues, because people of variety of religious and political positions are equally faithful. But I think it has to do with the tone of politics, with how we conduct politics, with whether or not we are able to communicate with one another, respect one another, and come to some sort of arrangement, however imperfect. And politics is going to be imperfect. There's no such thing as perfection in politics. It's all compromise. It's legislating, is, as a lot of people have said, sausage making. That is the nature of how politics is done. And what religion can offer this, right across the political spectrum, what religion can offer is a way of approaching politics that where we respect our values and respect one another, but we don't try to translate our religion into particular positions on issues.
The name of the book is The Relevance of Religion, How Faithful People Can Change Politics. The book is published by Random House. Senator John Danforth, thank you very much for sharing with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you.
Thank you. Again, the title of the book is The Relevance of Religion, How Faithful People Can Change Politics. Senator John Danforth is the author. It is published by Random House. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.